Our reading this morning comes from the Acts of the Apostles. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "People of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. 'In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I see some of you wore red. I have my red stole, but I forgot to buy a red blouse. But I'll do it next year, I promise. Today we celebrate the birthday of the church. We wear the red because it represents the flame that came on the tongues of the apostles, the tongues of all those who gathered that day. Now, of course, we've been around a while now. The church has had many, many, many birthdays since that first gathering. Since the people of many nations came together and were able to understand each other. What a glorious thought. They gathered and it says a violent wind came upon them. Not a little breeze. A violent wind came upon them. But over the last couple thousand years, the church has changed in many, many ways. Back when we talk about the biblical text, they were meeting in house churches. Back a long time ago, there were many, many, many different sects of people who were following Christ, all struggling to believe and to know what God had revealed through Christ. If you think back all the way to the beginning of the Roman church, very beautiful and sacred, but with its own kinds of problems. Today we have so many ways to worship God. We have so many ways to be Christian and to follow Christ and to understand the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in the life of the church. The church has offered so much to the world over the last couple thousand years. I read once that without the church, the welfare system in the United States would collapse because people are generous and they give to help take care of one another. But the church, of course, has carried its own kind of sin over the last couple thousand years. We have not done everything right or well, and yet we're still here on this, the birthday of the church. Starting over again, as we always pray that God will allow us to start over, hoping God will make all things new for us, and praying that we, as individuals and as the body of Christ, will sense the Spirit and where it is leading us. Because the truth is the church has a birthday every day. There is only one Easter, but there are millions of Pentecosts. Every single day is the new day, the birthday of our lives, of church. But like all birthdays, I don't know about you, there's always joy on a birthday. Pastor Carrie had a birthday last week. Happy birthday, Pastor Carrie. Her 33rd year. She called it her Jesus year. That's what it is. But also birthdays sometimes bring reflection and regret. The passing of the time that we can't control. What has not been done. So we ask the question every day, every birthday of our lives, what is the role of the Holy Spirit for us and for the church? Do we take seriously the presence of God's Spirit among us? Do we have the language to even talk about what that really means? Do we often think of the Spirit of God like an island breeze? Or do we understand that when the Spirit moves among us, it is more like the gales of the Midwest? We're not talking about Maui, we're talking about Chicago. Since the beginning of the church, God has spoken to us through the Holy Spirit and spoken to us through many, many things. Certainly the Bible, that inspired word that we can go to and learn from. We have learned a lot from culture and from education and from science, and God is continually revealed to us in the things that are going on in the world today. And of course, through the teachings and the life of Jesus Christ, who revealed God to us. Since the time of Christ, the Holy Spirit has moved in our world in so many directions. But the Holy Spirit is helping us make possible what Jesus taught us. Jesus said, "I will send you an advocate, something, someone who will help this work I'm doing to continue. We are not done together." Since that time, we have learned a lot from the time of Jesus. The Spirit has revealed to us that we had laws that were not just. We did not treat children in the way that we should. We did not include women in the way that we should. We are to love one another as God loves us, and that means everybody. So we continually learn, and we keep moving towards that vision that God has for the world. The winds of change have been strong and persistent. But since the beginning, and I'm guessing since the beginning of time, people who are humans have often hunkered down when the wind starts blowing. And Christians are no different. They dig in their heels and they say, "Oh, I have found the absolute truth." Even though we might not even recognize the first church, and maybe they found the absolute truth. And over the next 2,000 years, the church changes. The church is manifest in different ways. And yet, we still do it. That human nature of, "I need to be right about this. So we do. We hunker down and we think that we should keep the church exactly the way we found it. Though it was never like this before, but now that I'm comfortable with it, I think this is the way it should be. And we forget that the church of Jesus Christ has never, never been stagnant. It has never stood still. It has never looked the same. But we're human. We can't help it. We want a picture of something we understand, and so we want to hold on to exactly what we know. It's only in our minds that the church is the same, and only in sometimes our own insecurity, and I will even say this, stubbornness, do we ask the church to remain the same. When in reality, the church is more like Mary Poppins. She comes on the wind and she stays until the wind changes. And brothers and sisters, the wind always changes and challenges us. The Holy Spirit is always making things new. And we should be grateful that we are inspired by the winds of God and that it is not entirely up to us, or what would it really look like? We are children in God's eyes, seeing through a glass dimly. But we are called to a mature spiritual life, and that is part of who we are to become. We are not to remain children. We are to grapple. We are to grapple with the Holy Spirit's movement in our lives. And I wonder if we don't sometimes need to ask the question, but how do we listen for the Spirit's message to us? How do we discern God's will for the life of the church? Well, since we're humans and creatures of habit, change is not going to be easy. It's not our favorite thing. If change was easy, everybody would be doing it, is what I learned in college. But there is, and there are ways to discern the Holy Spirit's intention for our world. First, it begins with the teachings of Jesus. It just simply begins with knowing the themes and what he taught us. Is he not the person that we follow, who taught us that every child of God is precious, that we are stewards of the whole creation, that we are brothers and sisters and keepers of one another? But I want to say that there's another thing that we can look at. What if all of life and every choice was one big continuum? What if over here we make a choice and the choice harms people? We make a choice and it does harm to somebody. We call that evil, don't we? When people in the world make a choice that is outside their bounds and their rights, and it hurts or harms another human being. But our life of choices is as big as the universe. The continuum is huge. You move a little bit more towards the middle, and the choices become more holy. And by the time you get to the middle of the continuum, and you're making choices for yourself and someone else that are good choices, you're beginning to discern God's will and the Holy Spirit is working in your life. But here's what I think happens. I think this is where Jesus stood. Jesus stood over here. Every choice was for everybody. Every single time the Spirit moves upon us and we have to choose how to live out our lives in this world, when we get over here, when we really follow Christ, which is hard, do you want to love your enemies? Do you really want to turn your other cheek? Do you want to give away everything you have? This is the continuum he stood at. Good for the creation, not just good for himself. Not just good for one group or another group. Not harmful to anyone, but loving to everyone. And so when we struggle, is this the Spirit's movement on the church? Can we ask ourselves how far over where Jesus stood is this decision we're making? not legalistically, not trying to yank a word out here. We can play Bible surfing all day long, brothers and sisters. There's enough stuff in there to contradict it. That's all we could do is contradict each other. And yet Jesus stands over there and says, I will send you an advocate, someone who will lead you like I have led you. Are you listening? Do you really want to follow me? It is hard over here. Because you know what? You got to love everybody. I just think that we every day make choices. And sometimes our choices are good ones, but they're for ourselves. And sometimes our choices are bad ones, and they hurt and harm others. But the goal is to follow Christ into that difficult place where the Holy Spirit will make us new, even if we don't want it. Even if we're afraid, even if we've dug in our heels. Because every choice should be sacred and sanctified. Every choice should hold up all life. And when we have been standing in a place for a very long time, we must ask the Holy Spirit to lift our feet up off the ground. I'm not going to tell you that it's ever easy, because we are creatures of habit. I can dig in my heels probably better than most. And I know that about myself. When you're so certain that the truth has been spoken to you. And yet, I want to be like Mary Poppins. We all should be like Mary Poppins. When the winds of change come, when the Holy Spirit lifts up that umbrella and starts moving us in a new direction, we have to just go with the winds and find out where the Spirit is leading us. Because there's something else I learned in college. If nothing changes, nothing changes. Do you want a world of peace and justice? Do you want us to all love one another? Then we can't just be about who we're about. We have to be about who God is about. Jesus knew this most of all. And so as we begin anew on this day of birth, may all of us be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And may we honor Christ and glorify God with our courage and our openness, waiting for that next big wind. Amen.